Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now turn over to verse 21, if you would. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word this morning, I pray that you'll guide and direct all that's said and done. Thank you for the children's program this morning. What a joyous thing it was to see them sing all these songs that they learned from memory. And so many of them quoted their parts, and a few of them who had very long parts read some things. And they did a wonderful job, Father. Help us to raise these children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that they might come to know you when they come of age, and they might serve you with their lives. Keep them from sin and harm, we pray, until this day comes. Now, Lord, bless this day because we dedicate it to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The New Testament opens telling us that this is the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, who is the son of David, the son of Abraham. Matthew's gospel gives us this understanding of who Christ is and that he has come to fulfill the promises that were given. The genealogy is the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament promises. Jesus' first recorded words are found in Matthew's gospel in chapter 3 and verse number 15. There he, at the baptism, said, Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now. And that word means allow it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus said there's a purpose in fulfillment of righteousness in his baptism. In the book of Matthew, we find this word fulfillment used 11 times. That the New Testament is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. All of its promises and all of its types and all of its symbols. That Christ is the fulfillment of these things. If a person just read the Old Testament, there would be a lot of empty things, a lot of meanings they would not understand. The New Testament explains all of the promises and fulfillment of what the Old Testament was promising. That it might be fulfilled is a common expression, or so that the Scriptures might be fulfilled is a common expression that is used throughout the New Testament. Christ fulfills what the prophets saw and what they taught about redemption. Without the New Testament, the Old Testament is like a river that you see it running and then it goes underground and you just lose sight of the end of where it goes. It is like revelation without destination or promise without fulfillment. But God has not left us without promise. He has not left us without fulfillment. He has given us the New Testament. He has revealed in His Word exactly what transpires and how Christ provides redemption for man. The Old Testament is a book of unexplained ceremonies, sacrifices, offerings, and feasts. The New Testament reveals that these were a type and a symbol of Christ and how He fulfills the meaning and the purpose behind them. What He would do in providing redemption for you and for me. As the children quoted from John chapter 1 and verse number 29, that Christ is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. There's no need for us to continue to offer lambs year after year after year as the Old Testament did, because Christ is the perfect Lamb that takes away our sin forever and forever. The New Testament fulfillment of the sacrifices, the offerings, and the feasts. The Old Testament is a book of unachieved purposes. The nation of Israel was given a land of promise that they were to go to. You know, they failed in unbelief to enter the land, and so for 40 years they were in the wilderness. And then finally Joshua led them into Canaan, the promised land that God promised to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to their descendants. But they didn't stay there very long. You see, the law required of them both moral and ceremonial requirements. And the book of Judges explained how they failed over and over and over fulfilling these things. Human nature outweighed what they were taught with the law, and they failed and went into captivity and lost their promise, lost their land. But there was a future promise that had not yet been fulfilled, one that God intended would take place, one that will still happen in the future. This thing's cutting off on me, Ron. We got it back on now. The Old Testament book of unachieved purposes, those purposes find their meaning in Christ, the Lamb of God. We got a battery problem. Just put me on the pulpit mic. Prophet's writing reveals the Old Testament as a book of unappeased longings. Throughout that, these promises are given. The Jewish nation of people looked and wondered and hoped, looking for Messiah to come. But when Christ came as a nation, they did not receive Him as the Messiah. And so they're still looking. They're still hoping. They're still wondering why, as a nation, these promises have not been fulfilled. The promise of a kingdom and a king and a land and an inheritance. Genesis 3:15, the promises began that God said that early on in the Scripture that the seed of woman would bruise the head of the serpent. We know, having the New Testament, that Christ is the fulfillment of that promise, that He wounded Satan when He died on Calvary's cross, and His final destruction is already written, where the day will come He'll be cast into the lake of fire, tormented day and night forever and forever, as a result of His terrible sin. And Christ will deliver men through His death, burial, and resurrection. Genesis chapter 12, God promised to Abraham the land and blessing, and He promised that through Abraham all nations of the earth would be blessed. How are all nations of the earth blessed in that promise thousands of years ago? Because Christ came through the seed of Abraham. It is Christ that is a blessing to all the world, Jew and Gentile, who can receive Him as the light of the world and the Savior of men. Isaiah prophesied 700 years before Christ was born that He would grow up as a tender plant and be despised and rejected of men, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Joseph was a type and a symbol of Christ, rejected by his brethren, sold into slavery, who delivered them because God blessed in such a way He delivered not only Israel but Egypt as well from the great drought that came. And Jesus Christ is a Savior of men, rejected by His brethren, the Jewish nation. He is their Savior and the Deliverer that they must look to. This book of the Old Testament, all these things are written of Christ, but the Jews as a nation did not receive these fulfillments of the Old Testament promises. It is a book of unexplained ceremonies if you leave the New Testament out, a book of unachieved purposes that were given for them, a book of unappeased longings and unfulfilled prophecies. But Matthew's gospel opens up the New Testament that shows these things are fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ and in His death, burial, resurrection, and His future kingdom, where He will rule and reign over all men. The Scripture says that it might be fulfilled. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 21, His name would be Jesus, who shall save His people from their sins. Suddenly, the unexplained ceremonies have meaning when you look at the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. All the sacrifices that were made had a symbol of the covering of sin. Christ fulfilled that when He died on the cross and washes sin away forever and forever. The Bible says when God puts our sin away, It is buried as deep as the ocean is deep, cast as far as the east is from the west, and will never be remembered against us again. Thank God for that promise that's fulfilled in Christ. In Luke 24, in verse 13 through 35, Jesus walked on the road to Emmaus with a couple of the disciples after his death. They still failed to comprehend all that was transpired in the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. And so the Bible tells us that he began speaking with them, and at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded the scriptures concerning himself. He revealed to them that the New Testament is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament promises that the prophets had made, and they find their fulfillment in him, Jesus Christ, who would give his life to pay for our sins. The unappeased longings of the Old Testament, if you follow the New Testament teaching of Christ and all that he taught and the works that he wrought, you find the fulfillment of the loving Savior who cared about the needs of man so much that he would sacrifice himself for our behalf to supply those unappeased longings in loving fulfillment. He said the law is fulfilled in his love relationship of giving himself for you and for me. Jesus Christ began his ministry and read prophecy concerning himself. At about 30 years of age, as an adult male, teacher, rabbi, he stepped forth to begin a public ministry of preaching and teaching and healing throughout the cities. And in Luke chapter 4, the Bible tells us he went into the synagogue in Nazareth where he grew up, and he took the scriptures, Isaiah chapter 61, and read the scripture that day. In Luke 4:18, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." He was reading from Isaiah 61. And he told about what would be fulfilled. And he said, "This day are these scriptures fulfilled in your ears." The New Testament is fulfilling all that the Old Testament promised. And all those unappeased longings and all those prophecies find their fulfillment in Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. Matthew reveals that Christ is the rightful king of the Jews, the Messiah. Mark shows him as the servant of Jehovah. His name, Jesus, is spelled in all capital letters in Matthew chapter 1 there. And he would save his people from their sins. That name means Jehovah's salvation. And that's what Christ is. Luke shows his connection as the Son of Man. Christ, the perfect God-man, had no human father, so he did not have a sinful nature like you and I have. But he took on flesh as a man. He suffered with all the pain and agony that a human being can suffer with in dying on the cross and in sacrificing himself for you and me. He is the Son of Man, the one perfect man who could substitute himself for you and me. He's the only one who could die for our sins. If I laid down my life for you, or you laid down your life for me, it would be a great sacrifice of love, but it could not wash away sins because our lives are tainted by the sin nature that was condemned when Adam and Eve sinned against God and passed on to all their descendants a sinful nature. Because we are sinful people, we could not be the perfect lamb, the perfect sacrifice, the one without spot, the one without blemish of sin. That's why Jesus came, to substitute himself as the one perfect man who could be accepted by God, dying for our sins. John explains him as the Son of God, the one and only begotten Son of God, the one and only birthed Son by God the Father. You and I come into God's family by the new birth through the Spirit of God. And we are adopted or placed as sons in God's family through the right of adoption by God. God has chosen us, and we are a part of His family when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But he is the one true Son of God, the one who could be exalted above men and will rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Back in Matthew chapter 1 again, we find the New Testament opens to explain it is the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises. So we celebrate Christ's birth in the month of December as the one who came to fulfill all that the Old Testament promised in its ceremonies and sacrifices and feasts and offerings and types and symbols. The hopes and dreams of the Messiah's coming are revealed in the New Testament in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the virgin-born Son of God, fulfilling the prophecies of Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 that said a virgin would conceive and bear a child, and they would call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted means God with us. That God would come to be with us through a birth from a virgin. And Christ fulfilled this, Isaiah 7, verse 14. He also fulfills what Isaiah wrote in chapter 53, that he would be despised and rejected, wounded and bruised. He would bear our iniquities. He would bear the sin of many and make intercession for the transgressors. Jesus Christ suffered so that you and I could find forgiveness of our sins through what he did on Calvary's cross. And Christ's resurrection is the proof positive that his sacrifice has been accepted by God the Father. Romans 4:25 tells us, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. You see, the resurrection is proof of our justification, that Christ hath paid the price for our sins, so God the Father declares us righteous in his sight, forgiven of our sins. And that's the act of justification. It is a legal term where God declares you are innocent of any wrongdoing and you are free, therefore, to enter into heaven and into his family. Romans chapter 4:25 carries into Romans 5, verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. There is no longer enmity between us and God because of sin. Christ paid the price for our sins, and God declares us righteous when we find forgiveness through Jesus Christ. It goes on to say then that we have access through this faith. Access to God the Father. You remember when Christ died, the veil of the temple was torn from the top to the bottom, the symbol of opening the way for men to come to God's presence. Christ's death provides that opportunity for us to have access unto God and access into heaven. Then he says, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I don't think we do quite enough rejoicing. We like to laugh. We like to tell funny stories. We like to see funny things on TV and in movies and things like that. But when it comes to spiritual things, we sometimes get so serious about spiritual things that we forget to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoicing in the hope of glory. We have something wonderful to look forward to. It is something we can rejoice that Christ has made the way that one day we're going to see heaven, the place prepared for us. We're going to see the glory of God one day. That's been hidden to us like the Old Testament hid those things from the people of Israel, and the New Testament reveals them. There is coming a day where the revelation of Jesus Christ will be made known, an epiphany where we shall see him and see him in his glory. So we rejoice in that hope. Because of justification, we have peace, we have access, we rejoice in hope and glory, knowing God is at work in us through every trial and tribulation of life. Every difficulty we go through for the believer, God is at work in us. And what we're experiencing can work out for good to them that love God. We are living life, and the difficulties we face, God wants to use in our life to mature us and equip us and make us better people and provide a ministry to others that we reach out. You find yourself in the hospital one day, like these kids that were imitating the Jews before Christ came. They're questioning, has God forgotten us? Has Jehovah forgotten about us, his promises to us? You find yourself in the hospital one day and you wonder, oh Lord, why am I here? What is all this going on? There may be somebody God will put in the room with you, a doctor or a nurse or another patient, that needs to hear what you have to say. When you focus on being a witness for Christ, you'll find, like the Apostle Paul, it may be that it be God's will you be a witness in the jail cell to all the prisoners that are there and all the guards that are there. And Paul could write and say, all these believers salute you and rejoice with you as becoming believers, including those of Caesar's household who became believers in Jesus Christ. How did they become believers? Did they sit in a church service and hear Paul preach? Like the night he preached long time, and Eutychus was up in the balcony part of the building there in the rafters, and he went to sleep while Paul was preaching. So don't feel too bad if you fall asleep while Pastor Parrish is preaching. Eutychus fell asleep when the Apostle Paul was preaching. And he fell out. And he was dead. And Paul went over and laid hands on him and raised him up from the dead. And you know, you and I were dead because of a fall, the fall of sin that we were in. And Christ raised us up and gave us new life. The glory of God, and knowing every trial and every tribulation, every difficulty that we face, God can use for His honor and glory and for your good as we go through this life. All of that is a part of justification. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by His Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit has taken up residence within us, and now we can comprehend the love of God within us. And God works through us that we magnify His love to other people. We share His love by the deeds that we do, the sacrifices that we make. God so loved us, He gave His only begotten Son. Husbands, you're to love your wife like Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Wives, you're to love your husband and love your children. And parents, you're to teach your children the things of God that they might grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We're sharing that love. Maybe it's a love shared sometimes with a neighbor who's going through a difficult time, or with a friend, a co-worker, or someone, that you can show the love of God through you to that person. It quite often speaks louder than the preaching of the Bible in a church service, because you're demonstrating visually the real love of God in a sacrifice you make to someone else in their hour of need. Number 6, verse 9 of Romans 5 says that we are saved from wrath to come. We love to focus on the love of God and the goodness of God and the mercy of God. But my friends, there is also coming a day of wrath, a day of judgment. Hell is real, and those who do not know Christ as Savior have condemned themselves to that place by not receiving Him as their Savior. And so we plead with men, knowing the terror of the Lord. We persuade men. We seek to influence people to come to Christ, to find forgiveness, to join us in what we know now of Christ and all that He can do for us. And it saves us from the day of wrath that is to come. We've been delivered from that day by the grace of God, forgiven of our sins, preserved by the Lord, and we'll be delivered before the day of wrath comes upon this earth. And then last of all, joy, because His atonement for us makes reconciliation to God. Man was separated from God in the Garden of Eden. When he sinned, God put him out of the garden. He was separated from the presence of God. Before man sinned, the Bible says God would come down in the cool of the evening and walk and talk with Adam and Eve. But when they sinned, He separated them from Him. They lost their glory. They saw themselves as naked, and they sewed the fig leaves together and tried to cover their shame and their nakedness and their guilt. The New Testament tells us that God clothed them, no doubt instituting the teaching of an animal sacrifice to cover their sins. And he made them coats of the skins of the lamb to cover their nakedness. And that was repeated year after year after year. The New Testament tells us about Abel and Cain, how that Cain killed his brother. And Abel made the right sacrifice to God by bringing the lamb as the sacrifice. And Cain made the wrong sacrifice, bringing the works of his hands. No man is going to be saved by his works and his goodness. He must come through the blood sacrifice. And all of the blood sacrifices the Old Testament prophesied about were fulfilled in Jesus Christ when he died on the cross to pay for your sins and mine, and rose again from the dead and is alive forevermore. Through him, we're reconciled to God. We become a part of God's family. God is our Father. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." You see, when you come to know Christ, you're part of the family of God. God's mercy and grace is magnified in justification. All of these seven blessings are written in Romans chapter 5 there. And all of those declare us righteous before God through the sacrifice that Christ made on Calvary's cross. I ask you today, has that sacrifice been applied to your life? Have you looked to Christ and found forgiveness of your sins? Have you called out to Him to be the Lord of your life and surrender yourself to Him to serve Him and live for Him? And understand the joy and blessing that comes through sins forgiven and a home in heaven and delivered from the wrath to come. Let's stand together, please. The children did such a wonderful job today, singing and explaining all about Christ, the shepherds and the coming of Christ, the Lamb of God. When you receive Christ as your Savior, He comes into your life in a similar way that He came that day. I ask you, has He come into your life today? If you can't say yes, if you can't say I know for sure, Brother Jerry and I will stand up here and we are singing an invitation. We invite you to come. Let us take the Bible and show you how you can know Christ today before you leave this place. As a Christian, celebrating the birth of Christ this year in December. We don't know the exact date of Christ's birth. It is an assumption that is made, and one day is set aside, December 25th. We're saying this is Christ's birthday. This is the day we stop to celebrate the birth of Christ. The New Testament opens up showing us that it had a purpose in His coming to fulfill all the Old Testament prophecies and ceremonies, sacrifices and offerings, all the types and symbols, they're fulfilled in the person of Christ. Have you enjoyed that? Have you received that? Have you committed yourself to it, to serve Him until He comes to take us home? Father, we ask you to bless this invitation and use it for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.